Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 2 in the immortal words of Eminem. Guess who's back? It's Hero Hype. We're back for our second episode. We're very excited to be here. I'm Marima. I've got Donya with me as always being like that one other time we did this. And this is, you know, how it's going to be from now on. Before we get started, remember you can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. We are on Tumblr at Hero Hype Podcast, and you can email us herohypepodcast@gmail.com. So there's a trend, follow it. There's a pattern. You'll love it. It'll be great. Donya, how have you been?
I've been very well. You may have noticed that the Twitter account has been a little bit quiet for a few days. It's because I was in New York for about a week. Marimar and I got to meet face-to-face for the first time, which is probably the most exciting thing that happened to me.
Yeah, so. I can confirm that Donya is a real-life person, not a, you know, Tupac-style hologram or crazy person in her parents' basement. So that's a good time. Yeah, we've been very busy traveling and running around doing everything, but we should be back on track now. We said every fortnight, and guess what? It's been a fortnight, but it means 2 weeks, remember? Because we teach you things here in Hype. So let's talk about some news. I am still a little bit behind on my TV watching, and that is because I'm still traveling. So that's fine. Donya is all up to date, I'm pretty sure. Is there any big things that you've been excited about lately on any of your various TV shows?
So, funny story. When we were in New York, Karen, a friend of ours, also from Hyperball, put on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to watch. I was still ridiculously jet lagged because it was the day that I got in. I was super, super tired. She started watching it and I fell asleep. The day after, I was chatting to her and I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched, you know, most of the episode. You know, I got up to the point, I think where Coulson and Skye were talking about, like, him drawing the circles constantly, at which point Karen was like, yeah, that was, like, 2 minutes into the episode. So that was funny. I can now confirm I've now finally watched that whole episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and feel slightly ridiculous about the fact that I thought I'd watched pretty much most of the episode. Also was... very excited to find out that my theory about the circles was true. So, have you caught that episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet?
No, but I know. I made Karen give me the recap of it. Okay. So, yeah,
that's
fine
then. So, obviously, we have now found out that the circles that Coulson has been constantly drawing is a map of sorts of some kind of city, though we're not sure where that is or what it is or what's going on. I, ages and ages and ages ago, mentioned offhand to someone that I thought that they looked like blueprints when you zoomed out really, really far.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to find out that I was kind of almost on the money for that, which means that, you know, I'm kind of optimistic about my theory about what it's a map for. And how it could all tie into things.
So what do you think it's a map for?
I think it's a map for Wakanda, which is where Black Panther is from.
Oh, so okay.
My reason for thinking this is that obviously the alien DNA that's kind of souped up Coulson and made him go a little bit crazy cakes is from some kind of alien species. I always assumed Kree.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got introduced to them in the Battle of New York, and it would make sense that that's how, like, the Kree is kind of, like, off from Chitauri, who are there as, like, part of the Skrulls. So I kind of thought, you know, logical leaps and making sense, that kind of thing. I thought, you know, could be DNA from them going off there. The one thing that we know that they're all after at this point are the Infinity Gems. Wakanda is home to adamantium vibranium, getting my metals mixed up, which obviously we know is what Captain America's shield is made up of. So it's all interlinking craziness. And I think that there might be an Infinity Gem there too, which would link Black Panther into Age of Ultron, blah, 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 interconnecting the whole series and bringing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe movie wise. So yeah, that's what I think. It's a map for Wakanda.
Okay, well, time will tell.
I hope it turns out to be true. Yeah. In which case, you heard it here first.
I definitely have heard a lot of the Kree theories, people talking about Inhumans now that that's been announced. So I'm definitely with you on it's going to tie into one of the movies. They have, like we talked about this last time, they've done a lot better this season in making those connections between the MCU and the TV show a lot more organic, and they seem a lot more natural rather than, and now here's our tie-in for the week, and now here's our tie-in for the week. So I have total faith they did that Winter Soldier one so well that this is all gonna, you know, hopefully work out together.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Marvel TV, we had some very exciting news. This broke actually just after we recorded our last episode, so we've had to hold on to our excitement for a little while now. We have a premiere date for Agent Carter. Start your countdowns, January 6th. Let's go. This is it. This is the big one, right? We are basically like jumping up and down with excitement about this show.
Yes. Yes. I can finally put it into my calendar. Yes. It is super exciting.
Yeah. And not only that, so last time we had the synopsis, since then we have seen a clip from Agent Carter with Dominic Cooper and Hayley Atwell. Did you watch this? What did you think about it?
Oh, I did watch it. I am.
How many times did you watch it? Is more the question.
Probably an obscene amount of times.
That's the only. That's right.
I'm ridiculously excited for this. I was mildly skeptical due to the kind of like the little promo thing that they showed.
The terrible teaser trailer.
Yeah, the really terrible teaser trailer. Mm-hmm. But this restored faith immediately in it. You've got Howard Stark being his most Howard Stark. You've got Agent Carter being thoroughly unimpressed with him. And we finally get to meet Jarvis, which is so exciting.
Yeah, and he was great, wasn't he?
He was so great. If we get to see more of the kind of relationship between Peggy and Jarvis, like the way that they kind of play off each other, that would be super interesting to me, because I think that would be a really interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I think basing around that dynamic is going to work really well, because we know that Cooper is going to be in it, but judging from what we've seen, possibly just as like a recurring guest. So it's really going to focus on Jarvis and Carter together, which I think is a good balance, because Cooper is a little, you know, he's more similar to Agent Carter. He's a little more out there. I think it'll be nice to have the balance that Jarvis is going to offer. The thing I was most excited about in this clip was that they really didn't shy away from the violence. And I was a little concerned that they were going to be, you know, using kid gloves, being careful because it's a woman. And so far, everything I've seen from this, apart from that appalling trailer, which I just can't even talk about without making myself frustrated, it has all looked really, really good. And I have a lot of faith that they're going to be able to pull this off really well without making it about, you know, obviously it's about her as a woman because of the context that it's set in, but it's really about more than that. It's about her as this being this fantastic character. So it's all looking good so far, but you know, there's still time.
Yeah. It also lends a little bit of credit to Haley's tweets where she was like, doing them where she was like apologizing, like, I'm sorry for elbowing you in the nose. I'm really sorry for stamping on your foot.
Yeah. That kind of thing,
which was so great. And being able to see a little bit of her teasing in action, that was super great. Like, I loved seeing her kicking ass because she is such an awesome character and it's going to be so great to see more of her.
Yeah. That's going to be good. And she popped up in the most recent episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. So they're doing a good job to tie those together and make sure people are going to tune in for Agent Carter, unsurprisingly, because it's going to air in the season break. More TV news moving over from Marvel. We have, now I have to say, we all know, like, I'm in the middle of my Arrow catch-up, rewatch, etc. So unfortunately, this, you know, I've spoiled myself by reading this news story, but that's fine. So we found out that Laurel Lance is going to be taking over as Black Canary. These pictures, I'm not really into it. But I still don't like Laurel, and I'm only halfway through second season. I don't know if that's going to change, but we actually just posted an article on Hyperball about why Laurel is Arrow's weakest link, so I have a feeling my opinion on her is not really going to change. And I also love Sarah so much, so that makes me a little sad that, you know, she is obviously no longer in the show. All my favorite characters just don't seem to make it. I've had to deal with Tommy and I have to deal with Sarah, even though I obviously haven't reached that episode yet. So we'll see how we go. What do you feel about this? Because you are up to date on Arrow.
That's pretty much how I feel. I am really not into this. Mm-hmm. I loved Sarah. I watched the first episode of season 3 with Karen while I was in New York. I travel a lot. I'm sorry. We were in a hotel room. We put it on because we couldn't be bothered to walk around. And we sat down, and the second it happened, the rest of the hotel probably thought we were getting murdered. It was that agonizing. It was so bad. And I'm still upset right now because for me, and I know this is probably going to spoil things for you, possibly. I don't know if at this point you've met Nyssa or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah.
For me, Sarah was such a strong female character, but not only that, a great representation of someone who is bisexual in the media. And I was so mad when they killed her off. And aside from that, even now, I don't think Laurel is in the right place to take over as Black Canary. Full stop. I flip-flop back and forth on her. Sometimes she has moments where I'm like, yes, do more of that. That is amazing. If you keep doing that, I will start like really rooting for Laurel and wanting her to kind of go further. But then they kind of take 10 steps back, and it's just so frustrating. But Black Canary, even in the comics, was kind of touted as being one of the strongest female characters. Like, physically, she was so strong and able to fight. And I don't know, Laurel is not in that place. She's not ready to take the mantle on from Sarah. Personally, she needs far more training, far more character development from this point on before she reaches that point for me. And I honestly think it's rushed. I think it's too soon. I think at the moment Laurel is so driven by revenge that it's not the right setup for her as Black Canary. It's probably going to take her down a really dark path. Again, you haven't finished season 2, so you know, you'll get there.
Oh, but she's already like just, yeah. It's not, I am not super on board with this from where I'm currently at and from what I know about, you know, what continues to happen in this show. But then I really like Arrow, and I feel like they get their women really right most of the time. So I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but like Laurel's character has always kind of irked me. I just feel like it's never really worked out for them. And especially because Sarah was such a popular character, and her version of Black Canary was, I want to say, like pretty universally liked and accepted. So they're even, you know, like, I know it sounds so ridiculous, but even like the wig that they have on her, I kind of wish they had done it like, this is Laurel's interpretation of the character versus like, this is Laurel literally trying to be her sister. So, yeah. You know, maybe that's the direction that they're going. I'm sure this is going to not just kind of start and end with this. It will continue on, but I don't have a lot of faith in, you know, Laurel's characterization right now. So this doesn't do much for me.
I'm also mildly worried about the direction that they're taking her, because anyone who's familiar with the comics know that she and Oliver are kind of like on again, off again, mostly on in terms of a relationship. And to be honest, for the TV series,
it doesn't work.
That ship has sunk.
Oh yeah.
It is at the bottom of the ocean. It's in tiny, tiny bits. Like, it doesn't it doesn't work, especially as they've introduced Felicity. It's just the connection isn't there for me anymore. It is done. It is dusted. It is over. So I'm really worried that they're going to force it. And that may be a tipping point for me if they push it in that direction, because I don't think it's the right way to go. I think Laurel really needs to kind of take control of her own agency a little bit and bring that back. She is still very damsel in distressy.
Yeah.
She needs to find her own motivation for becoming Black Canary outside of revenge for the death of her sister.
Yeah, and we already saw the revenge story with Helena, so I'm curious about how much it's going to repeat that arc in a way.
Yeah.
Which I have to say wasn't my favorite story arc on the show anyway. So I'm, again, like, if they do it differently, maybe, but history of Laurel's character has not really worked out in their favor. Although, like, Felicity, they got so right. Sarah, they got amazingly right. I'm sad that she died, and I haven't even seen the episode yet. So I will let you know when I get there. Let's talk about movies. The Avengers Age of Ultron extended trailer came out. We were actually together when it leaked. I know you're excited about this because you get a little closer look at your man Hawkeye, which is a reason to also get excited. But you had a cool theory about this that you were telling me, and would you like to share that?
We obviously know that her name is Claudia Kim is going to be, yeah, Claudia Kim is going to be in this movie. At this point in time, we haven't been told who she is playing. They're being very, very tight-lipped on her role. There was around the time of San Diego Comic-Con and a little bit after, leading up to the kind of announcement of the rest of the Marvel movies, like really small rumors that Carol Danvers was going to appear at some point in Age of Ultron, which I think was definitely said by someone from Marvel after the announcement of the Captain Marvel movie. Now, she's very heavily based in the military. So my theory was that, you know, Marvel could be going full on diversity here and potentially casting Claudia Kim as Carol and having her kind of appear in the Avengers Tower, which we see a very brief glimpse of her in the party scene at the start during this trailer. We haven't seen her before. I think she may have very briefly appeared when they showed this footage at SDCC, but not like it wasn't a good enough lingering look at her.
Yeah,
like,
they showed this entire scene actually at Comic-Con, and the scene where they're all sitting around, they're all trying to pick up the hammer, and then Ultron comes out, like that whole, you know, 4 minutes or so, they showed all of that, and she was not in that, to my memory, like in a significant way. That said, the scene's obviously edited, so they could have cut her out if she did feature a little more majorly in the scene where they're all around to the party. Definitely seeing her in the Age of Ultron extended trailer is the first time I've really noticed her as a separate character and wondered who she is, and you have sparked my interest with your theory that I really, really like. And so I really hope that it's true, because, you know, we have our issues with Marvel and the lack of diversity. If they are going all out with this and they decide to kind of fix it all at once, that would be fantastic. That said, their previous history would tell me not to get too excited about this, because I should know better.
Yeah.
But it would make sense logistically and like for the story, for the films that they've set up, it would make sense for her to be included in here and included in that scene. So it could be. It could be.
Could.
I like it. It's a good theory.
It would be really, really cool to see someone with an Asian American background being a lead character, because obviously they're very predominantly white in terms of like who they cast.
Oh yeah.
So that would be very, very interesting to see that. But what was I gonna say? I mean, Carol in the comics has a very, very iconic look.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they will go away from that.
Right.
I would still be into it as someone who is a huge fan of Carol. Like, I would like it. I would be very interested to see that take on her. So if it does turn out that Claudia Kim is actually playing Carol, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, it looks like the other kind of predominant theory is that she's going to be playing a scientist at Stark Industries who's sort of has this connection to Ultron, Susie Endo, or you know, so kind of working with Stark and possibly working on the Ultron project.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, like, the pragmatist in me would say that's probably the more likely one, because like you said, Carol does have this very iconic look, and Marvel, for all their, you know, faults or whatever, like, sometimes they do get these looks really right of these characters. So we will see. We'll find out. They're keeping very tight-lipped about it at the moment. But, you know, it's another cool thing to speculate as we wait for this to come out. More Marvel news. We saw a little bit of Ant-Man footage and some behind the scenes from The Avengers. Now, I know neither of us are, like, super excited for Ant-Man. Does this whet your appetite a little more? Does this
Not really. Little...
Yeah.
No. No. I was more excited for the little bits of Age of Ultron footage that they spliced in at the end.
Yeah.
I was not too into the very, very brief look that we got at Ant-Man. I'm still feeling so kind of blah about Ant-Man.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take a full trailer of awesomeness. And I mean, every second will need to be awesome for me to go, you know what? Yes, absolutely. I'm super excited to go and see this right now. I was more excited to be like, oh, look, it's Hawkeye right behind Scarlet Witch. And oh my God, was that Vision?
Yeah, I mean, that's way more exciting.
Yeah.
That's what people are speculating about. In terms of Ant-Man, I honestly don't know if I'm going to be excited for it before I see a film. Because I just, nothing about this is just getting to me. I don't know what it is. Like, the casting is kind of fine, and you know, it's just been through so many problems at this point, and I'm not the biggest Ant-Man fan anyway in terms of the comics and those characters, not of Ant-Man himself anyway, and from what we have seen, doesn't look like there's going to be a huge focus on like the cool women that could be in an Ant-Man story, so we will see. But yeah, I guess we'll wait for a proper trailer. Like, I think I told you when we were at Comic-Con, they hadn't even read the script, which didn't seem like a great sign.
No, not really.
Yeah. But hey, I really like Evangeline Lilly, and you know, I like the cast. It's a good cast. So I'll try and build up the enthusiasm somewhat. Still on the Marvel train, we have some casting news from Civil War, the hotly anticipated and highly debated new Captain America movie that is coming in 2016. Daniel Brühl is joining. Is this how you say his name? Brühl?
I think so.
I'm going to go with that.
Brühl? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Daniel, I'm sure you listen, so I apologize. Again, in a currently unknown role, Marvel are really great at announcing things without actually announcing anything. Although reports are that he's going to be the villain, or villain in Doctor Strange. Who knows? It's all very exciting. What do you think?
I really like... He was in Rush, wasn't he?
He was.
This guy... I really liked him in Rush, if I remember, because I quite liked that movie as well. So, you know, as an actor, I think he can really stand against like all of the other guys that they've got who will be in the movie. I mean, he's already played against Chris Hemsworth,
mm-hmm.
So you know, he'll really be able to hold his own. So that's not something I'm going to be particularly worried about. As to who he'll be playing, I actually don't know, because until we know a little bit more about the way that Civil War is going to go in terms of how they're going to work out the plot line, it's going to be hard to try and figure out which characters in a potentially villain kind of role they're going to bring into it to make that all come together. So I think we might have a better idea after Age of Ultron as to who he might be playing, or even by that point Marvel may have told us. But for now, I'm just kind of a little bit like, who?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's a little hard to know because we don't know how Civil War is going to play out and how they're going to translate it, because as we have discussed, it obviously can't work exactly the way that it works in the comics. I think Age of Ultron is going to, like you said, do a lot to shed some light on that. Until then, hey, we can be excited. He's a great actor. Like, we'll take some good actors in the cast. And, you know, more casting will, I'm sure, come out. Now that we have all of these films coming out, there's going to be a kind of a slew of casting at some point. But as with Marvel, not necessarily any character names. So we try and read between the lines as much as we can. Final Marvel movie news, Guardians of the Galaxy DVD is about to come out, and they have been going crazy with the Blu-ray and DVD featurettes. Have you been watching any of these?
I managed to watch the blooper reel, I think it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That was very funny.
Which was, yeah, it was quite fun. I really, really liked that.
I liked the I Am Groot in 15 languages. I think that was my favorite one. That was very clever.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So, I've been meaning to watch the one, the deleted scene between Karen Gillan and Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either, which I should watch, because I wasn't really enthusiastic about Karen Gillan in this movie. So maybe that would do something to rectify that a little. Yeah. Zoe Saldana was great. Hey, here's my issue with Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's just air some grievances right now. Guardians of the Galaxy did a lot for Marvel. It was a much needed comedic film. It really expanded the universe. All of these are great things. Chris Pratt was fantastic. All of the cast was fantastic. But Guardians of the Galaxy was yet another movie where Zoe Saldana spends the entire first half of the movie being like, hey, we should do this thing. Like, this is a thing that we should do. And everyone goes like, what? You're crazy? No, 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 no. Then Chris Pratt says like, hey, maybe we should, you know, stop the universe from being destroyed, which is exactly what she has been saying this whole time. And suddenly everyone's like, yeah, we should definitely do that. Why has anyone suggested that before? Which makes me want to hit my head against the screen of the cinema.
Other grievance I kind of had is the relationship between Nebula and Gamora is so fascinating. Like, that sisterly rivalry kind of thing. They could have played that up so much more with them both wanting to go against Thanos and kind of get their own freedom and doing it in such different ways that pitted them kind of against each other, but for almost the same gain. You know, that was such a fascinating undercurrent of Guardians of the Galaxy for me that I came out going, more, why was there not more of that? But yeah, again, your grievance is
yeah, I would agree with that. And in addition, I feel like because they didn't expand it enough, they just put in enough for it to be this kind of generic sisterly rivalry between two women who can't have any kind of relationship if it's not based in rivalry, but they didn't do enough to explain it. So it just comes off as another one of these stereotypical girl against girl kind of catfight relationships, which again, it could have been a lot more. They are great characters. Well, they could be. There's the potential anyway. So yeah, just, you know, again, Guardians, you kind of have a problem when like the animated raccoon character is more developed than any of the women. But hey, that's Marvel. So we love them and we hate them. Let's talk about women now. Let's jump over to Warner Brothers. Michelle McLaren is in talks to direct the Wonder Woman solo film. She was a producer and director on Breaking Bad. We know, of course, Wonder Woman is going to be hitting theaters in 2017. What do we think about this? First female director for a superhero film?
Oh my god.
Mm.
I want her so badly to direct this movie. The episodes of Breaking Bad that she did were the ones that I absolutely loved. I think she did 4 Days Out. I think the ending of 1 Minute, which was another episode that she did, was so phenomenal. Like, it had one of the best, absolute best sequences that I'd ever seen in the show. So having her attached to this project would be super exciting for me. I want them to confirm this so badly.
She also did some Game of Thrones episodes, because unfortunately you're on your own as a Breaking Bad fan, but Game of Thrones episodes that she did, Oathkeeper, she did Second Sons, The First of His Name, they were really good episodes. So, and she's done Walking Dead as well. Like, she knows what she's doing. Girl's got some skills.
Yeah. So having her attached to this project would be amazing. And hopefully a major turnaround to maybe see more women getting involved in superhero adaptions. Like, there are definitely behind the scenes not enough of them, and that really needs to change, because clearly in some instances these things do need a woman's touch. I mean, there are a lot of us who are into the superhero genre, and we need to be catered to just as much as anyone else. You know, it's only ever going to widen your audience, not narrow it. So it's not going to alienate anyone as much as people seem to think it will.
Right.
You know.
And it's not like there is any lack of women in the entertainment industry to work on these movies. So the fact that she would be the first one is kind of ridiculous. Just like the fact that we've waited until 2017 to get a Wonder Woman film. But hey, I think this would be a really good decision if they went with it. It's looking pretty much confirmed right now, but they just haven't announced it officially. Although, as we have seen with other adaptations, even when it's officially announced, doesn't necessarily mean that it will stick, especially when the film is this far off. But I think this could be a really good move. And WB have shown by announcing, they announced Wonder Woman before Marvel announced their Captain Marvel, that, you know, they understand that this is a criticism that this genre of film is facing, and they seem to be doing something to rectify that. So I have faith that they will make a good decision. We have a little bit more of Batman-related news. Jared Leto is apparently going to be up for the role of the Joker in Suicide Squad. And then Margot Robbie is confirmed to be playing Harley Quinn. So, are you into these?
Yes, for Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
I'm, 100% into that.
Yeah, super into that. Little bit skeptical about, not necessarily Jared Leto being the Joker, but rather the Joker being in Suicide Squad, because he's not.
Right.
So that actually makes me a little bit worried about this movie not being about the actual Suicide Squad, which I'm actually really into the idea of Suicide Squad. Like, the Suicide Squad of the Arrow TV series was so good. Don't know if you've got to that point. Sorry if that was a spoiler, Marima, but
hey, it's all fine. I haven't watched it. I can't complain that people are spoiling me.
I loved their take on the Suicide Squad. I thought it was great. I thought they nailed it. So the idea that they may be putting different villains into the Suicide Squad just to have more mass appeal.
Yeah.
Like the Joker and stuff like that. That makes me worried, because for me, one of the most interesting characters of Suicide Squad is Deadshot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, thinking that he may not actually be in it, that's a little bit upsetting for me.
Right. But, well, you know, it's still early days. We don't know exactly what's happening. Jesse Eisenberg's going to be playing Lex Luthor, which we know, apparently. I mean, I kind of understand why they want to put the Joker in it. Like, I get it. No one really knows. Suicide Squad is not, like, a commonly known, do you know what I mean? People are not like, wow, I really wish that they would make a Suicide Squad movie. I mean, obviously the people who are the fans of the comics, but it's not like a popular kind of series in terms of the Joker has like a recognizable name, recognizable face, obviously did very well for them in the Nolan Batman trilogy. But I see what you're saying. I kind of feel like maybe it would be a mistake for them to use a Joker in the Suicide Squad just for the inevitable Heath Ledger comparisons that any actor who plays that character is going to draw, especially this soon afterwards, you know, because that was really, I mean, you know, whether or not you think like it was related to the circumstance of the actor or not, but that was really a very captivating performance and not one that could be easily topped, I would say. But who knows, you know, I mean, maybe they're all going to be in it. Maybe it'll be great. I'm excited for Suicide Squad, though. It's something a little different than what we've seen. And I really, really like Margot Robbie. So I think she'll be great. I think she's Australian, so I'm going to take credit for her and all of her talent.
I was going to say two things then. Obviously, if they go by, like, new Suicide Squad lineup, you've also got Deathstroke as part of the lineup right now. For new Suicide Squad. So that was the one that started this year. Mm. Like, it's Deadshot, Deathstroke, Harley Quinn, the Joker's daughter, and Black Manta.
And have they announced which one they're going off yet? Because I feel like they haven't really. It's not super clear from what we know about the film yet.
We have no idea where they're pulling from. So, I mean, there are so many villains that they could bring into this. But obviously, going with the Australian theme there, as Slade was played by an Australian in Arrow. But yeah, I'd be super excited to see where they pull Harley Quinn's origin from, because obviously her original origin is that she was a psychologist at Arkham Asylum when the Joker was held up in there, and he completely manipulates her to be obsessed with him, and she then takes on the appearance of Harley Quinn and kind of goes off as his kind of almost sidekick for a while.
That's a good description.
Yeah, before somewhat becoming her own character. She runs around with Poison Ivy a little bit as well.
So if they go with that one, I could see how they could bring the Joker into it. And maybe, you know, they want to introduce the Joker without making the character the focus of the film, which I think would be the best balance for them, because they get the recognition of the name and the character, and they don't overwhelm the story, which I think a lot of fans of Suicide Squad would, like you, be really disappointed if it just turned into a Joker film, because that's really not what this is about at all. And there's a lot of potential here for this to kind of break through as a new sort of superhero movie from what we have seen, because obviously they're all villains and that's interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I have far more faith in Suicide Squad than I do in that other potential supervillain movie on the horizon.
It's all great. Let's talk about X-Men. I love X-Men. Who doesn't love X-Men? I don't know if I've asked you, but did you like the reboots? Are you into the reboots of the X-Men movies? Because I really love them, like a lot, really hard.
Yes and no. There are things that I absolutely love. Like, I really enjoyed First Class.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Days of Future Past, though I wasn't so keen on their usage of Wolverine.
I seriously
still think that they're too Wolverine heavy. It would have been more interesting to have used Kitty more like she was used in the comics. Because I mean, come on, it's Ellen Page, she can carry a movie, trust me.
Oh yeah. That was a mistake.
I have my kind of bugbear as with the X-Men franchise. Hated X3. Was okay with the first and second.
Mm.
Um barring sometimes their treatment of Rogue, but I'm not going to get into that because I'll just work myself up into a frothing rage. And
I'm pretty sure we agree. So
yeah,
we'll come back to that at some point. And no one likes those Wolverine movies, so you know, let's not even talk about them. I am really excited for X-Men Apocalypse, though. I am an unapologetic fan. It's coming out, it's May 2016, so it's actually not that far off. We are now finding out that it's really going to focus on the relationship between Mystique and Magneto. So is that really a surprising thing? Because I feel like it's not.
Not especially surprising. Not too sure how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I think X-Men Apocalypse, with this whole kind of, you know, the way that Days of Future Past works, like the entire rest of the X-Men series has essentially been retconned. So this is like starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it. Yeah, I don't know. I love, like, don't get me wrong, I love Jennifer Lawrence. I love Michael Fassbender. So more of them, not going to complain about it too much. But I don't know, there's so many characters that they could highlight and focus on and bring more into the forefront and kind of pushing X-Men Apocalypse fully in their direction and being like a main focus, I'm not too sure about.
Yeah, and I think the concern is that they're doing this because they want more screen time for Lawrence and Fassbender, not necessarily because it makes sense for the characters. And I think that's what a lot of people are worried about. Obviously, these two work really well on screen together. We've seen that in the past two films. So, I mean, you know, it's working. Why not do it? At the same time, I am such a big fan of Fassbender's portrayal of Eric. I'm probably the world's number one Ian McKellen fan, but like something about the way that that we saw Fassbender translate him, the younger him, for the screen just really got me. So, you know, any exploration of that character I am on board with. We know that they're trying to push Mystique. There was talks that we were going to get a Mystique spin-off movie. So, you know, they know that Lawrence is obviously fan favorite actress. Mystique has become a bit of a favorite character, I know, for a lot of fans in the X-Men reboots. So yeah, not entirely surprising. Maybe not the best move for an Apocalypse film though. But you know, it's as old as PR. Who knows how much it is actually going to be about that.
Very true. I kind of, you know, call me weird, but I kind of want X-Men Apocalypse to be about Apocalypse.
Yeah, weird, right? I'm hoping that, you know, when they make these statements, it should be followed by an asterisk being like second in focus to the actual plot of the movie, which is based on the comic books that we are, you know, adapting.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I read into it, just for my own sanity.
Yeah.
Hold on
to that hope.
Yes. Well, so that's what's happening with X-Men. Now, surprising no one, I feel like at this point we just need a headline that's like a rumor. Sony finds another way to destroy Spider-Man. Just kidding. That's definitely accurate. Sony is planning an Aunt May Origins film without Spider-Man. I didn't think that they could make any worse decisions about this franchise, and yet they continue to amaze me. So props to Sony for exceeding my expectations. No, this is the worst idea I have ever heard. who is on board for this? No one at all.
Every time someone brings it up, I just kind of like want to laugh or cry. I just like until I start crying hysterically. I feel like someone needs to take the Sony execs, sit them down, and just like be like, guys, seriously?
Just sell it back to Marvel.
Either sell it back to Marvel or just get someone from Marvel to come and help you. Yeah. Because you clearly need help.
I feel like when stories like this break, it's basically Sony's equivalent of a cry for help. Just being like, we don't know what to do. We have the most popular superhero character basically in the world, and we can't find a way to use him. And it's so sad. And they just have no idea. Like, I kind of wonder, is anyone even employed on the development of these movies anymore? Like, who is thinking of these things?
I don't know. I really, really don't know. Yeah, because this would be entirely original.
Yeah.
There is nothing to go off here. They are literally spiraling out of control. And
yes.
They had something so great with the first Amazing Spider-Man. Like, that made me so excited for Spider-Man again, and I loved Andrew Garfield, and I loved Emma Stone. And then they were like, hey, we think we've got it. This is amazing. Let's carry on with this. Went into Amazing Spider-Man 2, announced all of these grand plans, and then suddenly Amazing Spider-Man 2 essentially bombed. And now they're just like, what do we do? Oh, no. What do we do with Spider-Man? We don't do anything with Spider-Man. Here's Aunt May.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, to be clear, this is very much a rumor still. This is coming from Latina Review, who are somewhat notorious for announcing things like this with very little credibility. But according to them, they say, yes, an Aunt May movie, a movie about Aunt May as a youth before she was shouldered with the responsibility of raising Peter Parker. The target mood is some sort of espionage story in the vein of AMC's Mad Men, which sounds like a way of saying classier Agent Carter without name-dropping Marvel's upcoming series. And if that's not the funniest thing you've heard today, then, you know, that's... it's just so ridiculous. The entire thing is so ridiculous.
I don't know.
Yeah, Sony just need to, I don't know, they need some counselling or something. They need to accept the fact that they are not going to be able to make the Spider-Man franchise that they would love to make. It's just not going to happen. It hasn't worked for them ever. They have never managed to turn this into successful spin-offs, etc. Every time they announce something, then they have to retract it. The casting falls through, everything falls through. We're still waiting apparently to like 2018 for Spider-Man 3. Who knows if Sony will even have the rights then, but I don't know. We'll continue to see the slow unraveling that is the Sony development team. It's just amazing to me how they could even think that any of these things are good ideas. And it's not just this, but it's like we get a rumor like this every few weeks about some grand Sony plan, and they're all terrible.
They really, really are. Yes. The only one that had me super excited was this potential all-female movie. But even then, I'm just kind of like, but what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the Aunt May, you know, Aunt May and her espionage squad. That's what they meant.
Uh-oh.
Mad Men in style. It's the greatest comparison I've ever heard. I never thought that I needed a, Mad Men, Spider-Man crossover until this moment. But so many branding opportunities. Okay, so that's basically it for this week in terms of news. Let's take a look at the comments from last episode. What are people saying? People are saying nice things. Cool. Thank you to Michael Semi and Ravenclaw 1991, who are excited about the show. We're excited about too. Michael is a much bigger DC fan, so he can't wait to see what Zack Snyder does to build on the amazing Man of Steel. That's exciting. I'm glad we have some representatives of the other, the other side, as it were. Not that we're Team Marvel, but let's be real, we're definitely Team Marvel. Taking a look on Twitter, Lizzie Granger, so excited for this podcast, big Arrow and Flash fan. Have you been, are you up to date with Flash?
I am now.
Are we on episode 6 right now or 7?
I think it was 6.
6, yeah, so still waiting for that big crossover on episode 8.
I know.
So I think I will actually be home by then, so I'm going to try and catch up on Arrow before then, and then we can all watch it together. It'll be an exciting time. Here's a question for you, and I know you answered it on Twitter, but why don't you expand for us? Lycorine? I'm so sorry. With a Teen Titans show coming, what do you guys think the likelihood of a young Avengers on the Marvel side will pop up? Donya.
Please, please, please. Oh, please. I would love a young Avengers adaption more than anything. Like, I know that they've hinted that Runaways is still on the table, and that kind of came about when they did the huge talk about their next lot of films. In the Q&A session, they said that the Runaways script is still on the table. It's still there. They're still really, really happy with it. They're just waiting for the right time. Now, there's so much crossover between the original runs of Runaways and Young Avengers that there is huge scope for them to be able to do both. So I honestly think that the way that the cinematic universe is going, there is a very strong chance that they could do Young Avengers. Now, with the introduction of Scott Lang, there is the possibility that Cassie could be involved at some point. With the introduction of Scarlet Witch, there is a possibility that, and of Quicksilver, I guess, there is a possibility of seeing Wiccan and Speed, who are... they're Scarlet Witch's sons, twin sons. It's a very confusing story. I'm not going to get into it right now because it takes too long to explain. But they're kind of her reborn sons into this world. You know, there's a lot of scope for it to go in that direction, especially if we see the Avengers disband eventually, because that's how the Young Avengers come about. The Avengers disband, and there's like an Avengers failsafe program in place from the Vision, which is picked up by Iron Lad, who is a younger version of like Kang the Conqueror, who takes this program and finds superheroes to replace the Avengers, making them the Young Avengers and going on being a superhero team, like a young superhero team. You know, there is a strong possibility that it could go in that direction, and I think it could work. All bias aside.
You are totally biased, but I'm so I would biased. Agree that I think it could work. In terms of the Runaways, what they have said is it was very close to being made, and then once the Avengers blew up, it got shelved. So they still have the script. They still have everything kind of going on over there. But we've had the Phase 3 announcement now. Obviously, there was some talk that it might be coming then, which it hasn't. It's very much about Avengers over at Marvel at the moment. But they're not saying no. They still have the possibility.
Which is exciting because even though they're not making any more Runaways, like it is a very short series. So if you're looking for something short and kind of interesting to get into, Runaways is actually a really, really nice series to get on board with. For anyone who isn't familiar with it, it's basically a team of kids, much like the Young Avengers, who get together and form a superhero team. But the difference with them is that every year, their parents would drag them along on this kind of like giant family trip while they kind of sneak away into another room and leave the kids off to themselves. The one year, the kids kind of go behind the scenes to kind of eavesdrop on them and find out what's really going on and find out that their parents are actually like a committee of supervillains.
Mm.
And their origin story is essentially that they're not okay and on board with what their parents are doing, and they form a superhero team to kind of combat that, and they are super cool. Like, I absolutely love them. The interesting thing with the Runaways is that there's so much diversity just within the team itself, going from like ages to there being people of color, different religions, and different sizes. Like, one of the main people in the Runaways is plus size. There's no way of getting around that. You know, she is drawn larger than, you know, most people would see on a superhero team. It really, really puts forward the point that you can be anyone to be a superhero. It doesn't matter how old you are, what size you are, what race you are, even your sexual orientation. Anyone can be a superhero. And that is one of the beautiful things about Runaways for me. Also, one of the characters has a pet dinosaur. What more could you want?
Yeah, I'm on Team Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Diversity in Dinosaur. What more could you want from a comic book run? So if you want to know Donya's, you know, in-depth thoughts about all kinds of things, you can ask us on Twitter. You can ask me things too, but, you know, her answers are probably more exciting. You can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Again, that's the same on Tumblr, and email is herohypepodcast@gmail.com. But, you know, we're mainly around Twitter. So as a reminder, we record every 2 weeks. So we'll be back in another 2 weeks with some more superhero news. If you have questions, things you want us to talk about on the show, let us know. We will do that. But until next time, that's all we have for this week. I'm Marima.
And I'm Donya.
Hey, Donya, what is a superhero's favorite drink?
I don't know, Marima. What is a superhero's favorite drink?
Punch! Oh. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Bye!